Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It is back, footy for 2024, the day of round zero. So much footy to talk about. Of course, this is the Shelter Footy Cast, live from the Backchat Studios. That's the Southern River Boys coming to you from Thornley. We're at socials at Shelter Footy Cast, footycast at shelterbrewing.com.au, YouTube Backchat. We've got the Shelter Footy Cast playlist. So much to get through. And, of course, Pacific Avenue, a new group that's on a beer, I'm pretty sure. Sydney-based Indie Rock Lords, Friday the 22nd of March, which is coming up pretty soon. Final release on sale now. There it is. Bit of Pacific Avenue. Mark Greddings alongside Hamish Brayshaw, Will Schofield. We're about to find out why he's not here, why he's fled the country a la Tony Mockbell. Hammer, good to have you here.
Great to be here, Skeet. Was that Sober Coaster by Pacific Avenue? I reckon it might have been. There you go.
Oh, look at you. Just
look at me going. Nick just texted through me before. No, he didn't.
I like the sounds. Very big on Pacific Avenue. Bit to get through. It's interesting. I've got a Brayshaw on my left and a Brayshaw on my lap. So if you get the chance to get hold of these, Andy Brayshaw.
Young Andy, does he still smell like grape? We unboxed him a week and a half ago.
No, he smells like, yeah, he smells good. A lot better than this couch normally smells on a Monday or Thursday. But yeah, good to have the AFL just pushing out some of your siblings' best work. A lot to get through. Of course, tonight it all begins, Sydney v Melbourne, SCG. But Hammer, footy has returned. A bit strangely, because we know that the WA teams aren't going around, and a few others as well.
Yeah, it's round zero. It's a weird thing. It's going to be strange not seeing Richmond, Carlton open up a season. That'll be weird. It'll be weird only having four rounds, like a little drip tease into it. It still feels like a preseason week for mine. Like it's still, I'm interested to see the sort of the spectacle they put on. I think they're going to have to go big on it. But yeah, for mine, it still feels like a pre-season weekend. Whether or not this continues going forward in the next year, I'm not sure. It might be like an AFLX that had one or two years and then they just said, nah, see you later.
AFLX. That's very good. Now, before we jump into some of the big moments of the round, I mentioned Scully's not here.
Yes.
I mentioned that he might have fled the country.
Yes.
As I said, a la Tony Mockbell, but going back a few years. The reason being is that he has lived up to a...
Yep.
A promise,
the man
a
of his
bet
word.
That he lost, and we have just seen a bit of vision of the man who's decided to shed his kit.
Yeah, and run around Optus Stadium completely starkers. He doubled down. I'm not sure if you've watched the video.
No, I don't need to.
If they go again and finish Wooden Spoon, he'll do the same thing, a naked lap, but around the MCG. So
he did it, I think, obviously, in the cover of night to make sure that there were no police charges pending. But so he's done that. You said he's repeated.
West Coast Eagles win the Wooden Spoon again this year, which I think he's paying about $1.10, he will do another naked lap around the MCG this time.
Well, and if you'd like to have a look at this bet being lost by Scully, head to the Shelter and Backchat socials to get all the behind the scenes view. I saw a little bit on Facebook last night, but that was just a hint of him getting out of the car. And then, you know what? He reminds me of a bloke that's very comfortable down at Swanbourne, very happy at Anudis Connolly. Does that strike you with him?
Yep, it does. I remember the first time I ever visited that beach. We were here 15 years ago for Christmas, and Dad said to us as a joke, we obviously had no idea, but he had a little laugh when he said, "Oh, boys, just go for a beach run. Beautiful this time of day." And we run from City Beach, we'll meet you at Cottesloe. And sort of laughed when he said it. Just stay on the beach. Okay, yeah, whatever, mate. Anyway, we started running and get to Swanbourne, and next minute one bloke walks out of the water. Jeez, you don't see that every day. Next thing, two or three more, and then there's a couple of old ladies up in the reeds in the dunes. What is going on? Anyway, how was Swanbourne? Just started pissing himself in the old. Anyway, that was, I think you'll find Scully there in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, he does love it. He's very comfortable with his body, and good luck to him. We're not quite as relaxed with, I wouldn't get the kit off, but
I'm fully clothed.
You and I both, and we deserve to stay that way. We have to jump into our big moments of the round. This is the Shelter Footy Cast. Big moments of the week, none bigger than Jimmy Webster, 7 weeks. We spoke last week, I think, about the Sam Palpepa, the head eye contact, your brother's legacy in the sense of what now the AFL may just up the ante, and they've certainly wasted no time. What did you make of the 7 weeks? It sounded like that was going to happen as soon as the incident happened.
Yeah, I looked at it and I thought instantly that might get 6. Then I was like, geez, they might make an example and go 10, but 7. I mean, it's a fair whack. I don't think it can always necessarily link back to Angus. I think there's been a lot of other concussions throughout the, like even Dan Venables is done, but his was a bit of a different incident. But there's been concussions littered throughout the competition's history, and it's getting more and more focus. And every incident that pops up like Angus's draws a bigger focus on it, and Paddy McCartan and now Jai Simpkin and these sort of things. But it's, yeah, I think 7 weeks is a pretty fair cop. I think it's certainly an example being made, and he's remorseful and all the rest of it, and as he should be. But it's it's a big price to pay for a brain fade, but it's hopefully deterring others in the comp from doing the same thing.
Look, it was a bump. I mean, we compare it to, say, Barry Hall and Brent Staker in 2008 when Big Bad Baz got 7 weeks, so the same time, but for a blatant punch. It shows you where the AFL has come. In a very short space of time, you go back 12 months ago, that hit, what would that have got, that bump by Jimmy?
Well, what did DeGoey get against Elijah Hewitt? Because it was a pretty similar left.
Was it 2?
I think he got 2 weeks, yeah. He ran at him, jumped off the ground, knocked him out, and Hewitt was out for the game. So I think that got 2 or 3 weeks back
last year. Cozzy Pickett was another example.
Yep. Paddy Cripps did it and won a Brownlow. So, you know, there's plenty of times where the AFL's looked the other way. But, yeah, they're putting a foot down now. So I think this will be the new normal. And I wouldn't – hopefully this sort of stuff gets stamped out. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if this sort of incident continues to get these big weeks.
It's just – and look, you've been out there. Scully's been out there. I have. But I can understand the split-second nature – of making a decision.
Yep.
This, I don't think you can put, even Scully mentioned $40,000 fines. I'm not sure that you're going to eradicate a contact sport and the pace of the game at ground level to make sure this is just eliminated after Jimmy Webster's incident.
No, you're not going to be able to eliminate all head knocks, but this sort of stuff, the split-second nature of football doesn't have to have this sort of result.
Sure.
The split-second nature of football is whether or not I'm driving through a tackle. Like, that shouldn't be... Hopefully we get to a point where players are in that exact same situation going for a tackle and not a head-high bump. Or, you look for the hips, aim at the hips, don't go bump. You know, that sort of stuff is where you can get to, and that's your split-second decision. You're not having... Like, I've been playing football now for 20 years. I was kicking when I was 4 or 5, and I've never had a split-second decision in the contact sport game where I'm deciding between jumping up in the air and bumping a bloke in the head. So it doesn't have to be like that, and I'm hoping that this sort of stuff deters players away from it.
You're right. The tackle's the most obvious. We saw Tim Kelly bump a player last week in the practice match. The Adelaide player bounced off him, I think, ended up kicking a goal. But you probably, if you can put the bump in the cupboard and tackle, you probably going to leave yourself less open to those moments, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it's more effective in the game. I mean, I'm not sure I can remember an incident where a bump is more effective in a situation than a tackle is. I look back at the grand final in 2018, that one where Maynard was up in the air and Liam Ryan came through him. He could have bumped him, but he, you know, it was a spear tackle essentially. And you're still in the motion of a football tackle and there's nothing wrong with it. And it hits just as hard. And if the ball is in a position where your arms are there, you're not giving your opposition a chance to get the ball away because you're tackling him. So I think, yeah, if we can change the idea of a heavy bump to a heavy tackle, yes, there still might be some ramifications from a dangerous tackle, but I think you're going to get a lot less of this intense shoulder on head sort of collisions.
Jimmy Webster gets 7 weeks. What does Clarko get for coming out and using that type of language on ground, defending his team and his captain? I understand all that, but the AFL's investigating. Is it a fine? Is it a suspension? That's what's been asked. Now, I think if Clarko didn't have such a long rap sheet, it would be pretty simple. The fine might be 5, 10, 15 grand, whatever. I remember Kevin Sheedy got 20 grand, it might have been, for the Mitchell White slashing the throat. There's some in the media and some in footy think that he should be suspended. Where do you sit with this?
Give him a fine, slap him on the wrist and say, don't do it.
Again? He keeps doing it again, Hammer.
Yeah, I mean, it's... His vice-captain's just nearly had his head knocked off, so you can sort of forgive him for being a bit angry. The language is, yes, I mean, you wouldn't... Just don't use it, mate. Like, Clarko, how long have you been around? Stop.
That language is used on a footy field regularly, I would have thought.
Yes, it does need a change, but I think it's just... yeah, again, you can't have as many slaps on the wrist as you sort of, you can't just hold your wrist out whenever you're in trouble. Sometimes you do have to drop a suspension, but I think given what happened with Simpkin and his vice-captain and there was aggression and whatever, fine him, move on and hurry up with the game.
Okay. Before we get into our ladder predictions, and of course, give us selections for our round zero matches, yep. Four matches in total. Big story out of Fremantle this week, Sean Darcy injured, arthroscope required. He's out for, well, short term, maybe a month most, but hopefully it's only the first week or two.
Yeah, those things can be tricky. I had an arthroscope in 2018 that I thought was going to be 3 to 4 weeks, ended up being 12 because it just kept bleeding and kept, you know, it didn't settle down. So they can be short, but they can linger on. So fingers crossed, his is a quick one, but he's going to be a big out for him, definitely. Obviously, Luke Jackson is a handy player and could be the number one ruck in his own right, but you know, it always hurts a team when you're losing an All-Australian.
At the West Coast Eagles, looks like Oscar Allen will play with that knee complaint. Ruben Jimby, Tyler Brockman, Clay Hall, all hoping to be available for round one. And the Eagles need every single one of those players and everyone in the squad available to give themselves a bit of hope this year.
Yeah, it's the injuries are going to kill them. The fact that they've got these star players, I mean, Allen and Jimby, the first two on the list, they are the future of the footy club. Oscar's obviously the now of the footy club, he's your captain, but they have to be out there and playing for them to be any chance to be competitive. It's, you know, it still might not be what gets them over the line, but I think they'll be at least able to show their fans something. And seeing Ruben Jimby out there as an example, a kid who's in his second year and he's come on leaps and bounds and he's an Adonis and he might go out and have 20 and have 10 tackles. That's the sort of stuff the fans are looking at. They're not necessarily, they're obviously crying for wins, but being realistic, then they're going to be few and far between. So you have to find the little gold nuggets where you can. And I think having these guys uninjured and playing football is going to be what the fans are crying out for.
The one bit of news I've picked up this morning is that Brett Bazo, I haven't seen anything of him during the preseason. I've been told that he's had a hernia operation. I did some research on this, Hammer. You like this.
Yep.
You get it from lifting weights. Do you know anyone who's had a football has had the hernia?
Yep, I have had. I think Oscar Allen's had hernia surgery.
There you go. So weightlifting, predominantly in men, aging comes into it, which doesn't really affect the footballers. So there's family history, also pregnancy. Now, I don't think falls in that category, so I think he's fine there. But so he, to my knowledge, will...
Going too hard, sitting too hard and trying too long on the toilet can also cause a hernia.
Is that right?
Yep, just FYI. not having done it myself, but yep, that's another cause of a hernia.
Okay, so let's say all those factors apart from the pregnancy we think come into play here potentially for Rhett. Let's hope he's short-term. Well, that can take a little while to overcome as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can. You have to, I think from memory from Oscar's one, you have to put this little mesh.
Mesh.
Yeah, it's like a mesh thing that stops it from... happening again. So anyway, they can be a pain in the ass, with no pun intended.
Absolutely. So we wish Rhett Bazo all the best. Before we get into our ladder predictions, we've talked about the big issues specifically with Jimmy Webster, but also the concussion protocols, which the AFL late yesterday came out with a decision. We know it's 12 days,
yep,
which remains in play for the AFL and AFLW, but for all community and football at other levels, including the WAFL, I think, that's probably where it's heading, 21 days. Now, the Footy Commission here had already put in place, as sort of being pioneers, for community and junior football, 21 days. Yet to be ticked off, Hammer, but wouldn't surprise me or you that 21 days, if you receive a concussion playing for East Perth this year, you're sideline for three matches, essentially.
Yeah, it's this is a tough one because I think the jury's still out on the concussion science as to whether or not a minor concussion gets better in 12 days. I think that was just an arbitrary number that they've just slapped down. I'm not angry at it at all. I mean, I've seen what concussion can cause and I've seen the ramifications of it. So if I do get concussed and I get told I'm out for 3 weeks, I might feel fine in 3 days, but I'm just not. That won't bother me necessarily. But I can just, I worry about the other players in the state leagues where it's, you know, shivers, we were going well here, or I don't want to miss out on a couple of big games coming up.
And
late in the season. So if I feel like I've got a little bit dazed, you know, 12 days, you might only miss one game, 21, you're missing three. So it's, you know, I'm okay, don't worry about it. I'm worried about that. So yes, I think if it can be accepted in its entirety, it'll be a really good thing for the game. It'll be a really good thing for players' health and safety. But I'm just worried that it might swing a few sort of on the edge cases to back a step where it's, oh, I'm okay, don't worry about it.
21 days is a long
21
time.
21 days is three games.
And as I said, if you're thinking you know, playing finals, Hammer, you're obviously a little different given what's happened in your family, but the feeling is, oh, round, first semi-final, concussed.
You I'm going to miss everything, yeah.
You could miss the whole lot. But you know what? You've just got to have someone, whether it's your family members, your medical people at the club, come to you and say, mate, I want you playing footy and living a healthy life in 20 years from now, not playing in a prelim final. And yeah, so that's – but it's a big call, but it's one that I think is inevitable. I think the SNFL, the VFL and the Waffle, I think will – certainly the VFL is doing it, and I've got no doubt in the short term that the Waffle will follow suit.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's pretty cut and dry. It just should happen. I think whether or not it comes in this year or it's another year down the line, it needs to get approved from – not approved. It needs to get accepted by the players before it sort of – people will revert to the old days of, oh, I'm okay. But, yeah, again, for me, it's a no-brainer. If I got concussed and got told I was out for 3 weeks, wouldn't bat an eyelid at it. I'm just hoping that as this rule gets rolled out and as all the more research comes out about the ramifications down the line, people just accept it and realise the severity of what it could be and are sort of open and willing to sort of sit on the sidelines for a little bit.
There it is. That is our look at some of the big moments of the week. This is the Shelter Footycast with Skeet and Hammer. Right, before we go through our matches for this weekend, I want to just pick your brain, Hammer. Sure. Sandover medalist, get a bead of where you're heading with your ladder prediction. Just a top eight.
Yep.
Also, maybe number of wins for Eagles and Dockers and where they finish on the table, and one of them might be in your top eight. So Brownlow, get your Coleman, your Rising Star nom. Do you want me to kick off for the top eight? Are you happy to go with your top eight as it stands now?
I was going through this briefly yesterday with a couple of mates. I think Collingwood, I think, are going to finish top again. I don't think they're going to win the flag, but I think they're going to finish top. I think they're good enough to bat off most opposition throughout the year. I think Brisbane, just by weight of numbers at the Gabba, will finish second.
Yes.
Any disagreement on your end there? Or
No, I think, how would I know? We get so much wrong in pre-season.
Don't we?
You
feel like a genius this time of the year until the
first... you've gone real hard. You've picked the two grand finals to finish 1-2.
Yep. None of them are going to win the grand final, in my prediction.
Okay, keep going.
So I think it'll be those two. I think Melbourne will finish third.
You are still bullish about...
I'm very bullish about the D's. I have gone out on a limb and said the Fremantle Dockers will be a lot better this year. Sean Darcy going down really hurt me. But I think they're going to win 16 games of football and I think they'll finish fourth this year.
That's a big win if that happens.
Yep. So I'm going to put the Dockers fourth. Don't love it, but I'm going to because now Sean's out. So I think Port Adelaide will finish fifth. I think Carlton will finish sixth. I think Adelaide will finish seventh. And then I think Sydney will finish eighth.
Okay. I'll give you mine. I've got Brisbane top. This is from memory from what I've seen in Brisbane top. I've got Port Adelaide finishing top two, and this is my last chance for them because you've got doubts about them, but there's doubts about a few clubs. But I've got Port finishing second. I think that Collingwood and Carlton can round out the top four.
Yep.
Outside of that, put it this way, I think Sydney and St Kilda are my two teams to drop out. Mm-hmm. So in fifth position, I think I've got Adelaide 8th, Bulldogs 7th, and there was one other team I'm trying to slot in there, the Giants. Did you have the Giants in your top 8?
Yeah, shivers. No, I didn't. Take Adelaide out. What did I put them at? I reckon I put Adelaide at 6. So take them out and put the Giants in and knock Sydney out of the 8 and put Adelaide at 8th.
Okay.
I think I said Sydney at 8th.
That makes as much sense, Hammer and myself, top 8. Bottom line is there's about 10 teams to squeeze into 8 spots at this time of the year. And there's two that seem vulnerable in our eyes, or my eyes, Sydney.
Yep.
And St Kilda, but there might
be Saints finishing way down the bottom.
And I didn't put Melbourne in my top eight. I think they'll be in that bracket, bottom eight. So if that makes any sense, what about the Eagles and Dockers? A bit more comfortable here to try and nut how many wins and where they finish. West Coast first.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to be able to get fully fit at any point throughout the year. I think the way that it's been over the last 3 years will sort of follow suit. They're just going to be playing catch-up all year. They already are behind the eight ball with injuries. I think they're going to struggle to win more than two games.
Two games? So worse than last year?
Yeah, I think they're going to go worse than last year. Well, I look at it and just think from a player's point of view, they've got, you know, who'd they lose? Shuey's out. Shuey's out from last year. Sean Hearn's out from last year. Nick didn't play, so that's not really. But yeah, Shuey and Hearn go out and Harley Reid comes in and, you know, you get a couple of other young players. It's going to take him those young guys a while to take over what they've lost. So I think they're, you know, and they haven't got any fitter. They've all got in, everyone's still injured, so it's going to be hard for them to get better this year, I think.
Okay. You've got the finish. That means finishing 18th.
Finishing 18th and having two wins, yep.
I'll be a bit more bullish about them, or buoyant. I think let's go 5 wins. I mean, just to
it'd be nice.
I mean, they won 3 last year.
Yep.
And providing McGovern and Yo and Kelly and all their key players, Oscar Allen, are fit, maybe they can snag another win or two. So I'll give them 5, which doesn't still puts. I think they still finish last with 5, if that makes sense. It might be 4. But it's hard to put a club below them from what we've seen last year and the start of this year. So wooden spoon again, hoping 5, but it could be 2 or 3. I hope it's not 2.
It'd be terrible for it to be 2. And I'm not tied to them from a
employment position
point of view anymore, so I can be a little bit more honest. I'd love to see them win 5 or 6 games. You'd love to see Elliot Yeo be back to his All Australian best and have 30 and kick 3, and be given it the finger wiggles after he's bombed one from 50. And you'd love to see that sort of stuff. I'm just the reality of injuries and the way that they're at, it's just going to be real hard.
Yeah, the list's not overly strong from what we've seen this preseason. The Dockers. Now you've got them.
I've got them winning 16 games and finishing 4th. I made that prediction about 3 days ago before Sean Darcy went down for the first 2 months, which is going to be, that'll be disappointing. But I still think they're going to be good. I think Nat Fyfe is as fit as he's been in years, and he's, I think, still one of the better players in the competition, so he's going to be massive. Hayden Young coming into the midfield gives them a really good look through there. Their back line's as rock solid as anyone in the competitions. Their forward line is the issue. So it's going to, for them to be in the position that I've put them in, something's going to have to click, and they're going to have to click well. I still think they can. They've got all Australian quality through the back line and the midfield. Their forward line. I think guys like Josh Tracy are going to have to step up and have a big year and be that focal point that they wish Tabernard had been over the last few years. I think Jai Amos is going to have a big year. Your young, smaller guys like Switkowski and the little fleet down the bottom there have to be at their electric best. But I think if they can click, they're going to be, they're going to be a really good side at Optus and away. So, I've got them very, very bullish, obviously biased. But, that's my prediction for the Dockers this year.
And Andy, is he playing the same type of role as last year, just from what you've seen?
Yeah, he will do. And it'll be him and Caleb will very much benefit. Probably Andrew more so than Caleb will benefit from having Fyfe in. I think the way when he dominated a couple of years ago, it was, he'd have 35 touches and he'd have 10 of them contested, and he's as fit as any player in the comp in terms of his gut running, and his ability to get on the outside of stoppage and get used is unlike a lot of other midfielders in the comp. Caleb gets in and wins his own ball more so than Andrew does, and having Fyfe to be in there, and no one can tackle him. And I might have said this the other week. In that pracky game, it was just, boys, I'm going to run past, I'm going to draw 2, I'm going to catch the ball above my head and I'll give it to you. And so that sort of stuff Andrew is going to benefit a lot from. So he'll still be in that inside-outside midfield role. But, I think he'll have a real benefit from having Fyfe back in the team.
I've got them finishing 9th right to the last round. I think they'll be in the mix. I think their season, and this sounds very simplistic, I think their season can be immeasurably better in the first 2 weeks. If they can knock over Brisbane at home and North away, I think they are on the path, because we saw what happened last year. And if they start 1-4, and it's just too hard to catch up. That's, for me, first fortnight is critical.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think the Brisbane at home game is going to be huge for their confidence, and then the solidifying nature of that second game. So they lost North Melbourne in the first 2 rounds last year.
St Kilda round 1
round 2. So that killed them, and that was after the siren debacle and whatever. But for them to be able to knock, if they can be 2-0 after 2 rounds, the confidence will be buoyed, the fans will be, here we go, we're on for a good year. And I think it'll set them as a legitimate team, and they'll have that feeling internally. Obviously, you go 0-2, the inner workings of the club are still going to think it's not going to drop off a cliff after two weeks. But externally, and then for the confidence of a team, the first 2 rounds, especially the 2 games they've got, are going to be massive.
Points in the bank are critical. Okay, let's go through some individual stuff. Brownlow medalist for this year.
Oh, Clayton Oliver. A real scruffy.
Yep. Wow.
Clayton Oliver, I think with the weight of the world on his shoulders, he's he's had all the media hitting him from left and right, and he's had a lot of off-field issues. But people are very quick to forget how good he is on the field, and he's going to be back. I think he's going to have a fully fit year, and he is going to be incredibly difficult to beat.
So Clowry's going to win the Brownlow.
That's my prediction. After just an off-field nightmare of an off-season, he will come back and prove everybody wrong and win the Brownlow medal.
That's huge. Yep. Hammer's big call is for Oliver to win the Brownlow. I know it sounds obvious, but if Dacos plays the full...
Ndakos,
should I say.
Yeah.
If he plays the whole year, then... which he didn't do last year, yeah. He wins it. So
yeah, I think so. I mean, it's very hard to argue with it. People tried to tag him last year,
yeah.
And he went forward. People tried to, let him go, and he goes in the midfield and off halfback. He can find his own footy. He's just a very, very complete footballer. And he's going to be, again, he'll be right up there. He's probably earned his favouritism.
I can say he would be favourite as we speak, and the bond would be around the mark. But your man...
Clary, I think you'd get $15 for Clary at the moment if you wanted to.
Comfortably, I think, yeah. No, you are a Melbourne man of sorts, but that's showing some loyalty. The Coleman medal, there's probably, obviously, only three or four real prospects, but which one have you picked out?
Nick Larkey for mine. I think he... did he kick 71 goals?
71.
In the second worst team in the comp last year. They're going to be a lot better. I think based on what I've seen from their preseason games, North ball is just, we don't have a very good defence. Sweet, let's just kick as many as we can. Get the ball going forward at all opportunities. They don't really have another key forward. He's shown that he can do it on the best defender, and he's just going to have, hopefully, a lot more weight of numbers this year. And, I can't see him kicking less goals than he did last year if he has a full year. So I think he'll go real close to winning it.
Short conversation, I'm with you. I think Larky, he's the one for me that stands out. If North are better, he'll benefit. And there's not too many blokes that kick goals around him. So, look, if he can kick 70 again, which if he does that, he's going to be in the conversation. Although Kuhn, I think, finished with 77 or 78 last year.
Yeah, didn't he play? Did he play? They played North late. They played West Coast late. So
he had two bags of 10.
Yeah, he had two bags. Or I think he had a bag of 9 and a bag of 10.
Yes.
So he kicked 9. And so did Tex Walker. So they had
inflated
games against West Coast. I think Larky's going to be pretty hard to go against.
Rising star.
I think George Wardlaw. I think North Melbourne are going to be a lot better. He falls into the category of, yes, he's in his second year, but he's played less. He's played less than 10 games in your first year and you qualify.
Yep.
From what I saw from him last year, he's a talent. He's a star. They've got a couple of new guys through there. This McKerchick bloke is looking to be very, very good. And obviously, they've got some talent in their young players like Davies Uniacke and the rest of it. But I think he's just going to be an unassuming young guy that just goes about his business and dominates. There's a lot of talk about Harley Reid. There's a lot of talk about the other draftees this year. But I think he was picked 3 or something last year. And I think you're going to be, people get carried away with the young draftees from this year. But he's lucky enough to fall in the category where he still counts. And I think he's going to be, I think he's a very, very, very good player and will be a very good player for a long time. And he's going to cement himself this year.
Okay. What about this kid from the Bulldogs, Riley Sanders?
Yeah, now, he looked very good.
The obvious one is Sahali, which we'll see so much of him. But this kid's going to be, I think, pretty handy come end of the year when we look at the seasons they've had. So providing he stays sound, I'm going to put him as a bit of a, well, I say smoky, but someone that wouldn't be spoken of as much here as over on the East Coast. So he's a guy, I think, young man that can do pretty well. There we have it, our ladder predictions, Eagles, Dockers, Brownlow, Coleman, Rising Star. This is the Shelter Footycast with Skeet and the Sandover Medalist. All right, let's jump into round 0, which begins at 4:30 SCG this afternoon. You little beauty. Let's go through some of the selections. Clayton Oliver, your man, selected, named, will play. Jack Billings from St Kilda comes into the side. Caleb Windsor, who had that really nice moment in a practice match to debut for the Ds. One of three debutants, Sydney. No Mills, no Parker, no Adam. And Adams, of course, Taylor Adams is missing. Mm-hmm. Grundy and Jordan to make their debut, respectively. And Lewis Melican has been named as a third tool.
The
big pelican is out and about, and a lot resting on the shoulders of Logan McDonald. How's this game going to be won? I'm guessing, given that you've got Melbourne flying, they will make a statement tonight.
Yeah, I think they will. Sydney are going to be good, especially at home. I just think Melbourne have got too much firepower. I say this every year, and they sometimes disappoint me, but they've got too much firepower across the ground to be...
Midfield-wise, yeah.
Yeah, I've got Melbourne winning the Premiership, and I've got Clayton winning the Brownlow, so they're going to be a threat. But I think, guys, Max Gawn is going to really relish this new ruck rule, I think. Yes.
Which is the stiff arm.
Stiff arm go. Brody Grundy's a very, very good player and a, you know, an accomplished ruck in his own right. But Gawn's as good as there has been, you know, since Dean Cox. And so it's going to be his year, I think, to really enforce himself. And that'll help Melbourne. But they've got young talent all across the ground. Their stars are stars. But, you know, guys like Judd McVie, who's, you know, only in his second or third year. These sort of guys, Jake Bowie, you know, even Cozzy Pickett, he's still young, but they've got young talent, Charlie Spargo, across the ground that can really bolster the likes of Oliver and Petrarca and Gawn and Lever and Mark. They've got enough quality players that those second-tier guys, third-tier guys that are starting to really play well are going to get them across lines in games like this. And, yeah, I reckon they're going to make a real statement to start the year.
Yeah, hard for Sydney, albeit at home. You would never discount them. They're always very tough. But Logan McDonald, no buddy moving forward.
Yep.
You know, relying on Papley and Isaac Heaney to help out. Just wondering where they're going to be able to get the midfield drive against the likes of Petrarca, Viney, and they're missing that. You know, the grunt of Parker shouldn't be underestimated.
No, absolutely not. He's been doing it for a long time. But you lose Buddy for you know, this game, and you've got Logan McDonald and
Joel Amati
playing on Stephen May and Jake Lever. So, you know, it's you're going to be hard-pressed to kick a big bag as a tall forward. And if you can, well, you know, you're well done to you. But it's going to have to be those smaller players that go about doing it. And Isaac Heaney might have to bob up and kick a few. And Papley might have to bob up and kick a few. So, you know, scoring is going to be tough for him. And then, you know, I just think the weight of the midfield power for Melbourne is going to be a bit too much.
In a nutshell, what's happened over the off-season with the drug allegations, the Clayton Oliver situation, and of course, Angus's retirement, is it going to be solidifying amongst the group? Or do you think they get the sugar hit early on, and it's going to be tough as the season wears on if more stuff comes out?
Yeah, I think it's going to... Winning doesn't sandpaper over the cracks, but it certainly helps. And I think there is a lot of stuff going on off-field at the footy club, good, bad, and indifferent. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I think that sort of galvanises a playing group and can make them just sort of headstrong and focus. And yes, there's lots going on outside, and it's a very cliched thing to say in a football club, but don't worry about the outside noise, boys, we focus on ourselves. But in a nutshell, that's what happens when things are going off, and you know, you wrap your arms around blokes, and like Clary will be back playing and he'll be out in the middle of the ground. He won't care what the reporters are saying about him on his off-season. He's just going to want to win the football. And they're all going to want that for him. They're all going to want that for the footy club. So they'll be striving hard to win as many early games as they can to sort of shake that, get rid of the monkey off the back, essentially. And, yeah, I think it will force them to be headstrong and moving towards a good year.
Well, if they lose tonight, the media will come out and say the off-season's been an issue. Let's go from Melbourne. We're both picking the D's tonight. Friday night footy, another beauty. We go back to prelim final last year, and it was Brisbane beating Carlton, 5 goals down, 4:20 our time. Sam Walsh is going to miss the early part of the season. He's had some injury concerns. Carlton have been pretty good on the road last year, and obviously they finished the season well, but no Jacob Wiedering as well. Brisbane, you almost tick them at the Gabba. We have for a long time now, but I don't see anything changing in the short term. They're still a tough team to beat, and both these sides went deep in September, of course. The Lions runners up.
Yeah, it's going to be too hard without... Like, I don't think the impact of Jacob Wiedering can be understated. He is so important for their team. Sam Walsh, the same, gets a bulk of the football and gets it moving forward. But up at the Gabba, it's going to be hard-pressed. Even, you know, I'm not going to tip anyone against Brisbane this year at the Gabba. Yeah. So it's pretty much as simple as that. They've got star players across everywhere. They play the conditions better than everyone. I was speaking to someone the other day about a game we'll go through in a minute, the Gold Coast game, but how are Brisbane $1.50 and Carlton $3.80 or something? And the difference in playing football in Queensland,
the humidity factor
and the way that the ball operates, it just turns into a cake of soap. And without training there every week and being in that environment 24/7, it's very, very tough to emulate. We, you know, at West Coast, whenever they would go over and play there, the balls would be in the buckets of Johnson's baby oil, and that's how you'd be training. You'd be doing touch with slippery footies to get used to it, but that's what they do every week. So it's, you know, the home ground advantage for these Queensland teams is massive, and for a team with as much star power as Brisbane, it's just going to be too hard to overcome.
Yep, we're both picking the Lions to win tomorrow at the Gabba, and well, that's going to be still a terrific match because of Blues. A lot of expectations on them this year. We go to Saturday afternoon, 12:20 our time. It is the Suns versus Richmond, the Damien Hardwick Cup. Big news breaking this morning, confirmed with that, they're calling it the corked calf, is that Dusty Martin will not play. Toby Nankervis is out. They've got some issues, Richmond, with their big names. Can I get Gold Coast first up in Queensland, or is that going to be too big a mountain to climb?
I think it's going to be too big a mountain to climb. This is the game that I was talking with a mate about. How come Richmond, you know, why aren't they clear favourites? And I spoke to him about the Queensland, this Queensland thing, and the fact that it is such a different place to play in. And, you know, albeit these two teams aren't Goliaths of the comp yet, and Gold Coast is certainly building to be a good side, and they've got a lot of good players. I just think it's a, you know, the home ground advantage for them, and the conditions are going to suit. Obviously, Hardwick knows a lot about Richmond, and he's going to be able to coach a side against them as well as anyone else. But, yeah, I just think it's going to come down to these teams will be both sort of top of the bottom eight, if that makes sense. But they'll be, you know, they'll be there or thereabouts. But I just think this is a game where Gold Coast will need to win and will, you know, will have the benefit of being at home and enjoying those conditions a bit more.
Yeah, Adam Uzay, new coach for the Tigers. We wish him well. And Big King re-signing, extending his contract at the Suns, which is huge for them. We're both picking the Gold Coast Suns to win. The final game, which pretty good four games, but this is arguably the best of the lot, with the running premiers heading to Giant Stadium up against the Giants, 420. Bit of pre-season verbals between Mason Cox calling Giant Stadium a showground for livestock. We've got Dave Matthews from the Giants having a crack back, calling it D-grade comedy, even suggesting Big Coxy might not even be selected. So clearly the Giants hate Collingwood. There's a nice rivalry there. We go back to the prelim final last season. But bottom line is, this should be a cracking game to finish off the weekend.
Yeah, it's this is the one that I think everyone's looking forward to, and they've done, whether or not it's a real beef or whether it's been fabricated to sell tickets, they've done an exceptional job at building this rivalry off, realistically, only sort of two games from last year. They had a couple of real good hitouts, and that stoush has turned over the off-season, and they've been firing at social media. The Giants' social media team are wonderful and do an excellent job at sort of drumming up interest about all sorts of things. And, you know, they've had a lot of back and forth with Collingwood, and I think this game's building up to be a cracker. Giants, I think, are going to be a lot more improved and a dangerous team, but I just, as much as I love them, it's going to be hard-pressed, I think, for Collingwood to be losing many games this year. They're very, very good. They've got a very fit side. They've got a strong team. They are led well from, you know, McRae and Darcy Moore. And I think they've just got this belief that, you know, 2 years ago I said that they're going to drop out because they won, you know, in 2022, they won 11 games or something under a goal, and they came back from behind. I said, oh, they're not going to be able to do that again. But last year sort of cemented the fact that that is them. That's their MO. That's their, you know, their nature as a football club and a team, and they've just got that belief they're never out of games, and I think that's going to roll over into this year. They've got a strong drive to win another premiership, and I think they've got a team to be contesting for it, and I think they're going to go out and play a very good game and beat the Giants this week.
Okay, bear in mind, Jeremy Howe is missing alongside Nathan Murphy, so they're a bit undermanned down back. Darcy Moore, of course, will lead the charge there. Charlie Dean, not a like-for-like replacement, he'll come into the mix there. You're right, they've obviously lost long-term down mixed day, but Lachie Schultz makes his debut. There's a lot to like about them, but the Giants, for their part, can they replicate what they did under Adam Kingsley first year? That's the question mark. We'll find out on the weekend. The midfield is always very good, and hopefully this match lives up to its billing. I'm going to just vary my selection to you. I'm going to tip the Giants, albeit you're right, always loathe to go.
Begrudgingly,
go back to last year, round one, Collingwood knocked over the running premiers Geelong and had a good year. Giants at home, look, you're not going to lose too many people by picking either side here, because the Pies, the running premiers, and the Giants finished, what, just a game off a grand final. So we'll go different on that occasion. But four games to complete round zero. Hammer looking to make it four from four and get his tipping off to a fly. And this is the Shelter Footycast. Just about wraps it up for this
round
Thursday,
zero.
Round zero. Of course, we'll be back on Monday to do the whole recap. It's not sure Scully's going to be back in town. He may be. We'll wait and find out on that on Monday. Touch and go, but he's got to obviously find out if he's been charged with naked
indecent exposure.
Indecent exposure after his lap around Optus Stadium. So make sure you check out the socials and find out exactly what he did. Get behind your footy team this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to wrap it all up. Go on to all our socials to find out more about what's kicking around in the world of footy. Hammer, Good luck in your first practice match against
Thank
Subi
you very much.
This
yep,
weekend.
Subiaco this Saturday.
Can't wait.
Forward to it.
Footy is back. We'll catch you next time on the Shelter Footycast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.